say about the meeting, first of all. I've always loved the verse which says, where two or three are gathered together, then am I in the midst. And we seem to have a capacity of God's presence and ownership in this work that we're involved in, which continually excites me. And having been in church ministry and leadership for many, many years, I feel consistently when I get up on a Sunday, I look forward to being here. It doesn't even matter to me whether it was 5 or 50 or 500, it would just be the same. And there was a time when it was not like that. I would be disappointed. You know, I'd arrive to a meeting and a lot of empty chairs, and I'd be disappointed, you know. And it would sort of just rob me a little of my life in God, because I was thinking about where everybody was, and, you know, holiday times or whatever it was, and, you know, a lot of empty chairs. But not any longer, because I know that somehow, whether it's just a few of us or, you know, everyone's here, or we've seen people come in, it really just doesn't matter. There's something about finding God in the worship, in the ministry, in the music, in the tenderness of God's presence with us that, you know, that's it really. It doesn't matter about how many we are, it's where two or three are gathered. I always want to remind us that when we come where God is, it's always a blessing. Where we come, where God is, it's always a blessing. You'll be in a large congregation of 1,000 people and feel lonely and desperate and, you know, uncared for and really dull. And I have been there in these large meetings. I'm not critical of those meetings. It's just how I feel about them. But more often than not, I come into the community of a small group of believers, and there's a love for God present in that meeting. You know, I listen to the sound of our singing, you know, and we're not many, but we really love God, and it's right across the whole room, you know. There's something beautiful about that. About what matters to God, what's important to Him. And I've learned over life, you know, things that I used to think were so important, were so key. Even in sharing this morning, you know, absolutely fighting for key theological truths, and wow, this must be, I always wanted to know what was right. Having an understanding of all the complexities. You know, I did a degree in philosophy and theology from London University, and, you know, this was no mean degree. I had to learn New Testament Greek and answer papers in Greek and all sorts of stuff like that. And I wasn't over bright either, I have to tell you that. I had to work really hard at these things. But they didn't always help me, because they just left me with more questions and I couldn't answer. And, you know, sometimes I got into doubt and I used to think, well, you know, I used to lie there at night and I think about the universe and is God up there somewhere and where is He? And all those sorts of questions, you know, you ask. And somehow, even during all the times of my study, I seemed to be able to hold on to the reality of the presence of Jesus. The knowledge of God, I did not lose it, even in the complexity of it all, in all the thinking and the writings and centuries of people's ideas and philosophy and proofs of God and issues of faith and all the denominations. And you wonder how anybody ever gets through to the end, don't you, when you really think about it. How do you manage to last? And if you take away the philosophies and the thinkings and the ideals and the ideologies and the political thinking and the social thinking and the religious thinking, you're just going to cope with the world in living, let alone all of those things. You do really seriously wonder how you get to the end. But you know, God looks after you. He really does. And the thing is, you know, at critical moments, He intervenes. You know, I like to think that when any all of you get to heaven, you'll see the critical moment that God intervened in your life. How many times in the Bible are there critical moments when God intervenes in a life? He intervenes in a situation. He breaks in on that situation and he changes it. He turns it around. He makes it different. You know, there's a time in Europe when you could never see a resolution to the Soviet Union and its empire, to the split that went across Europe to East Germany and West Germany. It sounds like a long time ago, West Germany. What's West Germany? But that's how it was, East Germany. Poland, Warsaw, Hungary, all under communist rule. You could never see an end to it. And then suddenly, overnight, it breaks. I believe these moments in the global scene are interventions of God, changes things, because it no longer suits his purposes. They've run their course, they've had their day. Does it mean other things might not arise and new difficulties, particularly in the last 15, 20 years, maybe a little longer with the rise of Islam and particularly fundamentalistic Islam and its desire, passionate desire to bring an Islamic world into being? I have a different problem. Some would say a different threat. And God will allow it to go as long as it needs to go for. He lets these things run their course. God is sovereignly in charge of all this stuff. Never lose hope on that. But the amazing thing is that when it comes down to stripping it all away, when it comes down to, for us, what matters, it comes down to this. It's one thing really, that God is with us, God is with you. God is with Tim when he comes and shares. God is with me. But I get up tomorrow and God is with me. I go through the motions of living and I do the things I need to do and I outwork the responsibilities. But in all of that, God is with me. God is with you. God is with you in what you do. And never forget that. And you know the most amazing thing is that even sometimes we don't always acknowledge God in the things that we're doing. God is still with us. In every trial, in every difficulty, in every problem, in every challenge of the mind, in every moment, God is with us. And then, at those times, like I mentioned, there is an intervention when he breaks in. He breaks in and he makes a difference to you. I can't remember his name now, but he was a great preacher. You know, he was just going nowhere. And he just one evening, one Sunday evening, on a nice evening, he's just walking past a church and he just goes in and he sits at the back and he doesn't even know why he's in there. And there's this guy at the front mumbling away. It wasn't really very coherent, the words weren't very clear, but somehow there was enough said in that meeting that got through to this man. Why? Because at that moment in time, God critically broke into his life. And later become an amazing preacher. I'll probably remember his name, it just came into my mind. Before that, he was going nowhere. And suddenly there's a moment when God breaks in, you know, he just makes a difference. He just makes the direction of our life different, changes us. But you know, we have an enemy that's also working against this, working against what is of God, trying to disrupt us, to disorganize us, to disorientate us, even more to disorientate us, take us away from the purpose, the plan that God has in store, trying to disrupt and destroy us. But God is out there all the time looking after us, keeping us on track, intervening at critical moments. You know, it's really interesting, you know, when you read about all the sort of required, and you're going to the whole world and preach the whole gospel, and go out there and be a missionary for Jesus, or be this or be that, or be fired up, and get out there and take the world by storm. But you know, Paul also says it's required of you to live a peaceful and quiet life and get on with your own business. That's what it says. I think sometimes, Paul, I really like that. You know, peaceful, quiet life and mind your own business, basically, is what he says. You know, coupled with this sort of, you know, great urgency to bring the gospel into the world, and sometimes we're driven to be out there and lay up treasure in heaven, but you know, behind that, great deal of our time is just doing that, living peacefully, quietly, doing our work, but always knowing that God is just there with us, looking after us, sustaining us and strengthening us. And he knows what we need as well. You know, his interventions are always tailor-made for you and I. There's no singular one intervention that works for everybody. It's there because it's tailor-made to what we need. He breaks in. He makes his presence known. He reveals himself to us. And in that revelation, the whole purpose of that is to just take us on into new places, into new opportunities with him. And God is not restrained by the way that we measure success, or the way we measure advance, or we measure what we think is good necessarily. God has his own ways and understandings of this. I yet will, or to discover some of the things that sometimes seem so negative to us, that God can find positivity in them. Ways that he sees things and understands things. Always remember when you are on the back foot, when you're struggling, when it's difficult, don't fall back into yourself and look to yourself for your resolution, to how you can think, work it out, manage it. Can you put more effort in? Can you give more time to it? Can you somehow resolve it? It's a good place to fall back on God. Fall back on him. Fall back on him. Fall back on him. Isn't it great that God is not, you know, like a game app, and you get so many lives and you run out of lives and it ends or it stops or it closes down on you. God, not like that. You don't get so many chances. And then he sort of stops. And you've got to feed more money in to get more lives or something. Anyone who's ever played Candy, what's it? Or know that. Not played it. What's it called? Candy Crush. Terrible game. The whole idea is you run out of lives and you need to buy more to keep going. Anyone who's foolish enough to have done that doesn't deserve to be in the kingdom of God. But generally, that's the whole idea of the game. You run out of lives, you know, you run out of lives. Oh, God, and usually they plan it so that it's computerized, so you just get one go left and you still got it. The game's not complete, so you've got to pay 69p to have one go. Or you don't. I just want to recommend that this morning. Don't do that. But God isn't like that, you know. It's not like Candy Crush where we get so many lives and we have to buy in again to get some more. It'd be really tragic if it was. It wouldn't be a very good gospel, would it be? No, God is not like that. There's no limit to the number of lives we get. More so, living is not a game. But more than that, you know, God is constantly there in availability, constantly in the fullness of him, constantly working with. I am just amazed. I've lived a lot longer than most of you. How many lives God has given me. How many times God has, you know, drawn a line under my life, or under my attitudes, under my behaviour, and so on. And that. You know, from your position, you see it in sort of, you know, fairly godly, God's going together guy who's been a church meeting for a long time, but from my position, I see it very differently. I sympathise with Tim, you know, when he shares about having to manage things, manage his life. You know, he has a personality made up in a particular way. You know, his dad left him when he was 12 or 13. You know, all sorts of managing issues, but God knows all about those. But yet, you know, you testify. This is the goodness of God. This is what God does. How wonderfully God looks after us. How wonderfully he guides and intervenes and keeps us on track. How wonderfully he keeps giving to us and giving to us and giving to us without ever running out of resources. Isn't it God that God doesn't have limited resources? I have to share them out, you know. A bit like, you know, the Mormon church that sort of gets rid of the blokes because there's not enough women to go around. It's not, God isn't like that. But, well, you know, I've only got a limited amount of grace today, so we're going to wipe out, you know, one half of the Christian population because I won't have enough for everybody. Wouldn't it be tragic, you know, that God would like that? Not only got enough for everybody, but he's got an abundance for each one of us, you know. It says he blesses us abundantly. If we have limitations, if there are limitations about God, it is the ones we place on God, not the ones he places on us. Do you know that? The limitations that are in life spiritually are because we place them upon God, either intellectually, physically, emotionally. But God never places those limitations on himself. One of the great things that I would love for everyone is to get to a certain age, you know, like mid-70s, and look back over their lives and you can just see all the wonderful places that God has intervened for you. And all the wonderful things he's done for you. And all the glorious things, and all the rubbish that he ought to give you a good kicking over, and then he somehow he's just allowed you to carry on. That's the God that we love. That's the God we worship this morning. That's the God that those songs have really brought to us. And a lovely time, just the Spirit touching our hearts. That's the God who sent Jesus to the cross. That's the God who who resurrected the Lord Jesus. That's the God who is all-powerful, all-wonderful, all-knowing, whose strength is incomparable. That's the God who is the winner, not to be a winner. He is the winner and he wants us to be more than conquerors. That's the God that we live with. And if you have, if you're struggling or you wanted to work things through this morning or you felt this morning's meeting, you just somehow felt sometimes tears coming into your eyes, you think, you know, I just love you, Jesus. I love what you represent. Or sometimes maybe you felt, I just want more of you. I want to know something more about you. I know why I'm here, but I want to be there. Then let God speak to you. Give him room. Don't block him out. If God is who I say he is to you, if you believe it, capture that in your spirit, give him room, give him a chance. Don't pray and then do your own thing. Give God room to help you. I don't believe there's one person in this room that does not need God. Anyone that doesn't need God is extremely, you ought to be in a superhero's movie. We need him. Okay, let's stand. Can you just put the time? This would be lunchtime. We're just going to pray for a moment and just take a few seconds to let this word touch our hearts this morning. And Rich is going to play quietly for us. Just to let the love of Jesus touch you today. I want to pray for those who, something that's brought up on Wednesday, whose work is really pressing in on them. And not only the work, sometimes the people, the attitudes, the expectations, the lack of appreciation. Being taken for granted. Good at your job and you're just taken for granted. In the end, you're going to cynical and hard in your heart towards it. I just pray that God will soften your hearts. That somehow you would be above the turmoil and the pressure, the attitudes, finding a sweetness of Jesus in what you do, speaking out of the kindness of your heart, letting your words edify and lift up. Because you found God in your workplace. You found God in what you do. You found God in your administration, in your calculations. You found God in your organization. You found God in the people you have to meet and deal with. You found God in your employers and those who manage you. You found God in all of these things because he is with you and is looking after you. God, be with those who are struggling or are finding their workplace really challenging at this time. Help them, Lord. Our young people here, I pray for everyone here under 25, I pray, Lord, that you would really sustain them, open their hearts to you, let them know that there is one great way of living in this life, and that's with the Lord Jesus. Yes, their lives will come under pressure. The moment they leave the atmosphere of a church room where Jesus is present, they're back into the world with all its negativity and its unbelief. I pray you will look after our young people, not just those that, Lord, are here today, but all of our young people. Those that are not here this morning, may they benefit from this meeting. I be with them. I pray particularly for all our young people when they go to New Wine. Greatly blessed by that meeting. Pray for parents. This morning you have children, they need the help. That you will anoint our parents with the gift of parenting that comes from the very heart of Jesus. Those that are struggling in the area of fostering or in the area of home life or any issue, Father, I pray this morning that you will find great victory in the lives of these children and rebuke the enemy who would seek to interfere in the lives of our children. And I pray for wisdom, for insight, and for a spirit of decision to come upon our parents in the handling and dealing with their children as they grow up, in the name of Jesus. And that includes those who are not here, Father, for I'm aware of those challenges too in the lives of families not here this morning. I pray for all of us that we might see Jesus, that we might lift him up in our hearts, be in love with him, wrap our arms around him, draw him close. For the single people in this room, I pray for them. Sometimes in their loneliness, in their desire for a friend who would be a partner, I pray for them. Help them, Lord. Bless them. And that, Lord, all of us may remain useful to you, knowing that until the day that we cross over into heaven, you will be permanently breaking into our lives, and there will be moments, those critical moments, when you will prophetically speak to us and change the direction, give information made by revelation to our hearts, and we know it's you. Let each in this room receive that in the name of Jesus. And finally, Lord, I pray for any unsaved person here, that they may come to know you and love you as the Lord Jesus, who has delivered them from the penalty of sin and from the fear of death, that comes only to those who live in Christ and who are filled by his Holy Spirit. Our Lord, we just worship you and love you and thank you for your encouragement this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen.